Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord, for thou art worthy to be praised. Lord God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done, everything that you're doing, Lord God. We praise you, Lord. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Do unto your name. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos, Jr., from the Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, your host for today. Today is Sunday, 6 p.m. We have the Bible Mystery Program. It's about an hour long, and we have a question for you. And whoever comes up with the correct answer, you dial 516-418-5944. You look for the number sign, press that. You look for the number one, you press that. You'll be connected to the radio station. Glory be to the Lord. And if you get the correct answer, the church will mail you out a beautiful pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolism that point to Jesus, the sacrifice in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. Glory be to the Lord. That's a beautiful pamphlet. You can keep with you. You could keep it in your Bible, so as you go along and you have time, when you go to Bible class, when you go to services, instead of gossiping around with others, you could read this pamphlet, and it'll keep you zoned in on the things of God, and you learn about the tabernacle and how it represents and how it is shown in the Old Testament, the First Covenant, and how it's shown in the New Covenant. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We would encourage you to call your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. If you have a comment, question, or testimony, we would be gladly to hear it. Glory be to the Lord. And we have a mystery for tonight. Hallelujah. The mystery is Miriam. Why did Miriam become leprous? Glory be to the Lord. Let me give you a little background. Miriam, excuse me, is the sister of Aaron and Moses. And you know Moses, how God used him mightily to bring forth deliverance to the Hebrew people out of Egypt. Glory be to the Lord. He also had Moses anoint Aaron, and Aaron became the high priest and his sons. Glory be to the Lord. Miriam was a prophetess. She would bring forth the word of God as God gave her the word. Like Moses, Moses also was a prophet and deliverer, a savior to the people, as per the directions of the Lord. But something happened. Something happens, and it caused Miriam to become a leprous. Why didn't Aaron become leprous? I don't know. It doesn't say in the Bible. But Miriam became a leprous, and Aaron went to his brother Moses so Moses could pray for her. And she was cleansed after 7 days. Glory be to the Lord. But let's find out why did Miriam become a leprous. And we find the story in Numbers 12. And we're going to read for it. And we're going to begin by the ending of verse 2, which says, "And the Lord heard it." So you got to ask yourself the question, what did the Lord hear? Did the Lord hear? And that is something that will give you a hint as to why Miriam became a leprous. In verse 3, "Now the man Moses was very meek, more so than anyone else on the face of the earth." So Moses was a humble man doing the things that God instructed him to do. Number 4, "And the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, 'You three come to the tabernacle of the congregation.'" That's what the tabernacle was called at one time, tabernacle of the congregation, tent of meetings. It was a portable sanctuary. Glory be to the Lord. "And the three of them came, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud in the doorway of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward." Now remember, God called all three, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, but when it came to the instructions, he called Aaron and Miriam ahead of Moses. And he said, verse 6, "Listen now to my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision and will speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses, who is faithful in all my household. With him I will speak mouth to mouth and openly, not in riddles. And he sees the form of the Lord." And I'm not going to read the latter part because that will give you a hint as to why Miriam became a leprous. Verse 9, "And the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them." You know, in the New Testament, it says it is a bad thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, because God is holy. God is righteous. God is graceful and merciful. But God also is a consuming fire. And sin cannot stand before him. It'll be burned. Sin will be burned. It will not enter into the kingdom of God. That's what the word says. Flesh and sin will not enter into the kingdom of God. So God was very angry. He says the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. So Miriam and Aaron were there at the door of the tabernacle, and God spoke with them, and he was angry with them. They did something really bad. And that's what you need. That's what we need to do when we're in our services, in our churches. If you don't agree with the pastor, the best thing to do is pray for your pastor, pray for your teachers, pray for those in leadership. Don't gossip against them, because even though you might not like what they say, but they are God's chosen. They are God's anointed. And there's a reason and a purpose why that individual is in the position that they're in. So I rather pray for the individual than gossip about him or her. Remember one thing, what God says in his word, gossip is the same as murder. And you're breaking one of the Ten Commandments, the sixth commandment, that's not murder. So you're murdering the spirit of the person. The person could be joyful, but because when they hear what you gossip about, it might cause a lot of pain in their heart, and they're down and out because of what they heard. But it's better to pray for the individuals. You know, some people go to church to see what the pastor's going to bring forward that day. How is he dressed? How is the first lady dressed? They might look at the choir, and they might gossip as to, well, I don't like the way they sing, or how they bring forth that song. Or they might speak against one of the ministers, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, or the teacher, and they might say a word against them, the gospel, for whatever they have done, and that's wrong in the eyes of God. You should not gossip. You should not speak against those that are there to represent God. Like right now, a lot of people talk about President Biden, but the word of God tells me God is the one who puts people in places, that we are to pray for our leadership. That's what a true Christian does, pray for the leadership, that they come to the knowledge of the truth, that they come to Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Spirit could direct them in the way they should go. But in the meantime, if they don't, God still put them in that place. God allowed the voting to go a certain way, and that individual was put in that position for whatever amount of time that they have to stay in that position. So if you don't agree with the decisions that Biden has done, I will recommend that one of your priorities in prayer is to pray for your leadership, because God might answer your prayer. Like Daniel. Daniel prayed for 21 days and the enemy was fighting the angel. And the angel said, listen, from the moment that you began to pray, the Lord heard you. And he sent forth an answer. But the prince of Persia withheld him back. So it took about 3 weeks, 21 days for them to hear from the Lord the answer to the prayer. But that doesn't say that God did not hear. God hears the prayers. God hears the prayers of the righteous. The word of God tells me he draws closer to the righteous, pulls away from the pride. So if you pray in sincerity, pray for your leadership in sincerity, that America will once again, turn around and be that city on a hill and be the representative to the world of the gospel. Sends out embassies, sends out missionaries to the world, that the world may hear the gospel. But don't gossip against your leadership. Don't make decisions because of your anger. Pray about it. Let the Holy Spirit direct you into how God wants you to operate. Same thing with Trump. A lot of people has a lot of things to Trump. A lot of people has a lot of things against DeSantis and all the members of the people that are running for office. Someone has something to say against them. But I would say pray for your leadership, that God will give them understanding and knowledge and wisdom to lead this nation back. To lead these people back to the right way. I mean, look at America these days. people have compromised and allowed innocent blood to be shed. They can call it whatever they want to call it. You know, it's still murder. You're still murdering a child. If you look back at the history, when the Jewish people murdered the children, they used to put the child on the hands of this image, Baal, and the word went out for the drummers to drum harder, to overshadow the cries of the baby. And with the baby would be dead in the hands of the image, they will cast his body into the belly of the image where there was fire going on. Just imagine that, being that baby. They put you on the two hands of this image, this iron image, the fire that's coming through, burning your body, and you end up dying because of it. You might say, well, Pastor Ramos, we don't do that these days. Well, think about it, my brothers and sisters. You're still murdering a child in the womb. Maybe the baby's not born, and maybe you're not put into the image. Maybe you're not put into the belly. But what happens when you go for abortion, which is murder, the doctor, some doctors put the needle into the skull of the baby, and they push in saline, I heard. Saline is like fire to the brain, and it kills the baby. And then the physician, if we could call them physicians, they pull out the baby in pieces, a hand there, an arm there, a leg there, you know, the skull, the shoulders, the chest, and they give it over to the people. Some say that they give them over to the pathologist. We know that they also use the baby parts for stem cells, and they sell the parts to companies to come up with medicines for people. So, you know, you have to be very careful, my brothers and sisters, when you pray. And we do have intercessory prayer on Tuesdays at 3 o'clock in the morning. Same location here on Blog Talk Radio. Same phone number, 516-418-5944. And we pray for an hour intercessory prayer. And we touch many various subjects. But here we have Miriam and Aaron going before God, and God's anger was burning against them. And he left them there at the door. And he didn't even speak to Moses. He spoke to the brother and the sister, you know, and he was angry with them. And verse 10 says, and the cloud went up from the tabernacle, and immediately, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but immediately, not later, immediately, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked at Miriam and saw that she was leprous. Now, remember one thing, you know, leprous at that time was a very bad disease, and people didn't want to associate with them. As a matter of fact, there was a certain ritual that they had to go through if they was cleansed from leprosy. Miriam became white as snow. Her skin, white as snow. She rotted all over. Her body was contaminated. What Miriam did, what Aaron did, caused her to become a leprous. Later we'll read what Aaron goes through, but at this time, we're focusing on Miriam. And why did Miriam become leprous? That's the question. That's the mystery for today. And if you have the answer, you call us at Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign, press that. And look for number one and press that. And you will be connected with the studio. And you pronounce your answer, and if it's correct, the church will mail you out a beautiful pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolism that points to Jesus, the sacrifices in the tabernacle, the garment of the high priest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Remember, Aaron and Miriam were spoken to by God and said that they were supposed to both appear before God at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, the tabernacle of the congregation. And then in verse 11, Aaron pleads for Miriam. And Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, I beg you, do not lay this sin to our account, which we have foolishly committed and of which we are guilty." So, you know, one of the things that Aaron did, he humbled himself before Moses. And Moses was representing God. Later on, you're going to read when they go to Pharaoh, there's a portion of scripture that says Moses was as God and Aaron was as Moses he was a spokesman. They represented authority. So Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, I beg you, do not lay this sin to our account, which we have foolishly committed and of which we are guilty." So Aaron recognizes that they did something wrong. And Aaron calls for Moses to pray for them, because he don't want them to have to deal with that nature that they did. Both Aaron and Miriam committed such an atrocity before God, and God heard it. God was attentive. Remember, God was about to deliver Israel out of Egypt. So God knew everything that was going on. So, you know, if God puts you in a position in the church, you know, and your flesh is saying, "Well, I should have been in that position, higher position." You know, why is that guy has that position? Why is that woman has that position and I'm over here? Well, what you should do is pray, "Lord, help me to do everything that's pleasing in your sight." Don't gossip against no one position, because God will bring forth his judgment upon you. And don't, you know, God's grace is that he gives us the things we don't deserve. Mercy is he's holding back what we deserve. So when you gossip somebody, and gossip is the same thing as murder, and you've broken the commandment of God, the breaking of God's commandment is called sin, and the wages of sin is death, according to Romans 6:23, you know. So you're compounding your situation worse than it was before. You're making it worse. That's why when you come to God, there must be a change. Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again," because Nicodemus thought that because he was a Pharisee, and because he had the temple and the law of Moses there, that they were okay. They were not okay, because they were dependent upon their own works. They were dependent on their own thing in order to receive salvation, where salvation is a gift from God, freely given. But we have to recognize the state. And that's what Aaron did before Moses. He recognized that they did a foolish thing that they did. It was foolish what they did. It was very minor, but in God's eyes, sin is sin. So even though it was foolish, it was minor, But in God's eyes, it was a big thing. Why? Because you were there. God put you in a position to support the ministry. He didn't put you in that position to tear it down. And if your elevation comes later on, so be it. God will elevate you at due time, his timing. But in the meantime, you do the best that you can in the position that God has you to do. I'll give you an example. Let's say you want to be a full-time ministry, but God has you cleaning the bathrooms in the church. Well, you know what? You clean those bathrooms to the best of your ability. Make them shine. Maybe make them white as snow. Make them that when people are going to use it, they're going to be amazed at the cleanliness of that bathroom. When you're sweeping, don't sweep nothing under the rug. Sweep it, pick it up with the dustpan and throw in the garbage. Don't let nothing hinder him back. Like, for instance, I'll give you an example. Some people say, well, I didn't murder no one. But you just finished lying. So lying is as bad as murder in the eyes of God. So don't sweep nothing under the rug. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. And Aaron recognized their sin, and he asked for mercy. He knew that they should have been judged. He knew that at that time, a sinner, depending on the sin that they committed, would be stoned to death or thrown off the cliff or what. Here is a gossiping sin, murder, stoned to death. So Aaron and Miriam should have been stoned to death. But God loved Moses, and these were Moses' brother and sister. So he allowed her to continue, but she became a leprous to show, you know, her condition. And Aaron went to Moses and begged for Moses to pray for them, not to lay the charge against them. And then in verse 12, Aaron says, do not let her be like one dead whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes from his mother's womb. That's a leprous. And Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beg you. Yeah, so Moses is interceding for Miriam at this time. Moses is interceding for someone who spoke ill about them. Moses praying for his sister and brother who committed such a foolish sin before God. And Miriam became leprous because they committed sin before God. And here Aaron goes to Moses and Moses goes to God. Moses is interceding on their behalf. And this is the response that God gave to Moses. Well, let's read what Moses said to God. Very short. And Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beg you. In other words, Moses is asking God to heal her because, look, God, at the things that I have done. I've been obedient unto you. I've been faithful unto you. You know, I've done what you asked me to do. I have not denied you, Lord. You know, and I'm asking for you for this one thing, to heal her. In verse 14, the Lord answers Moses. And the Lord said to Moses, if her father had only spit on her face, she should not be ashamed for 7 days. Have her confined outside the camp for 7 days. And after that, let her be received inside again. So what happened, he put her away. You know, God didn't bring no fire down. He didn't bring no death upon her, although because of her leprosy, she was dead. She was dead spiritually. She broke the fellowship that she had with God. Aaron broke the fellowship that he had with God. And here we have Moses interceding on their behalf. Moses hasn't broken his fellowship with God. So Moses go to God on their behalf. And God, in his wisdom, something which is way above our wisdom. And the Word of God said, if we lack wisdom, we ought to ask for it. And we ask for wisdom every day because we want to do the right thing. We want to take our knowledge and understanding of the things of God. And when we make decisions, that we make the right decisions. You know, his ways are way higher than our ways. His thoughts is way higher than our thoughts. And we need to come to an understanding that it is better to give it unto to God in his hands. Let him handle the situation because he knows best at the right time, the right decision, the right circumstances, and things will be well again. But when we keep it in our hands, maybe we react in a way that it's not the right time. It's not the right circumstances. And it brings more harm than good. And so we need to acknowledge God in all our ways. We are not to lean to our own understanding because our heart is deceitful above all things. And we have to put our trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Trust in him for everything. When you sit down at the meal, something so simple, but we should do it anyway because we love God, and that is to pray for the food that we are about to receive. Some people call it, are you going to say grace today? We receive what the Lord has given unto us in our meal. And we thank the Lord that when we eat it, this body gets nourished. We don't die from an infection or something like that. In verse 14, and the Lord said to Moses, if her father had only spit on her face, she should not be ashamed for 7 days. Have her. Now, this is the instructions that God is giving Moses regarding Miriam. So Moses is going to share with Aaron, and he's going to share with Miriam. Have her confined outside the camp for 7 days. So confined outside the camp, that means she cannot come into the court of the Gentiles. She cannot come to the court of the women. She cannot come to the holy place. She's, even though she's a prophetess, she cannot come and represent God because for 7 days she has to be cleansed. And remember, you have to labor there, and some people would have to go into the sea and cleanse themselves like that. At one time, God told Moses, tell the people to watch for 2 days, them in their clothes, and prepare themselves for the third day. So, you know, how sincere are you with the Lord? Is it going to take you 2 days? Is it going to take you 1 day? Is it going to take you 7 days? Here, God knew that it would take Miriam 7 days for her to repent of her ways and give it unto God. 7 days. And because, you know, God is a gentleman. He wrote the scriptures and he gave them the law. And a person who's a leper must stay out of the camp for 7 days and present themselves before the priest with the right sacrifice and do what the priest says. Let the priest examine them to make sure that they're not lepers and none of their skin is white. In verse 15, and Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days. And the people did not see set out until Miriam was brought again. And Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days. And the people did not set out until Miriam was brought in again. So look at that. Israel as a nation was traveling. But they could not travel because Miriam was outside the camp. They had to wait for her to finish the requirements of sinning. They had to wait 7 days. When Miriam came back in and she was cleansed and she was reestablishing her position, then the people took up and they went forward. So something that Miriam and Aaron did affected not only her relationship, his relationship with God, and it also affected the nation, because the nation could not go forward. You know, sometimes you commit an atrocity, and in this modern age, you get arrested, and you get put into the jail cell, and you have to wait for the accusation, for the district attorney. You have to wait for a trial. You go for trial, you know, and all of that is a cumbersome to the nation, to the city, because time has to be used up. Monies have to be used up to pay these people. And so you affect a lot of people. So it's best before you make a decision that's going to hurt yourself, it's going to hurt somebody else, it's going to hurt the nation, it's best not to do it, and it's best to pray. Like right now, if we have people who human trafficking, they take babies or they take women or men, you know, they're affecting not only the individual, they're affecting the family, they're affecting the community, they're affecting the state, because everybody's on alert looking out to see if they could see that individual. Something that Miriam and Aaron did caused a mighty disturbance in the nation. Not only did she become leprous for 7 days, not only was she not allowed to come back into the temple and the tabernacle in the area for 7 days, but the nation could not go forward because of Miriam, who was outside. They had to wait. They had to wait for her to complete everything that she was supposed to do. So when Miriam came back, in verse 16, it says, and afterwards the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the desert of Paran. So what did Miriam do, Miriam and Aaron? But here we're looking at Miriam. And Miriam is another name for Mary. So when you look at the Gospels and you see the name Mary, it could be that the person's name was Miriam. The female's name was Miriam, but in the translation, they brought forth Mary. So what did Miriam do to become a leprous? Why did Miriam become a leprous? That's the question. That's the mystery for today. Encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors. We have about 28 minutes to go. You can call 516-418-5944. You look for the number sign. You look for the number one. You press those, and you'll be connected to the studio. And if you get the right answer, the church will mail you out a beautiful pamphlet of the tabernacle. It shows the furnishings, the pattern of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifice in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. You can keep this in your Bible And when you go to church or when you go to Bible study or when you're on the train or when you're on the bus, you could read some parts of the tabernacle pamphlet and get acquainted with it and get to know what the tabernacle stands for, the colors and everything that's there, and how does it apply today. Well, God said he was going to make a tabernacle in Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem is where his name will be. And in Jerusalem is where the sacrifice was supposed to be offered, and in Jerusalem is where his home will be. But when Jesus Christ gave his body up for sacrifice and he shed his precious blood, our body became the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God is dwelling within us now. We are holy and righteous, not because of ourselves, but because of him. So we must maintain a state of humbleness, a state of prayerfulness, because we never know when God is going to speak to an individual and bring them to the knowledge of the truth so they could be saved, so they could be entered in. And that's the reason why we have to give ourselves over. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then think about the words that we're going to pray. And it should be a sincere prayer from your heart. It has to be long, but it should be sincere. Something like this. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we humbly come before your presence, recognizing, O Lord, that we don't deserve to call upon your holy name. But you made a way, Father God, that we could call unto you. And we thank you that you sent your precious Son, your only begotten Son, to redeem us, to make us righteous. As he became sin, we became righteous, because he paid the price for sin. For your word says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, and that there is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. So we thank you, Lord God, that in Jesus Christ died, buried, and resurrected on the third day according to the scriptures. You have set us in heavenly seats in Christ Jesus. We want to thank you, Lord God, that in Christ Jesus we have the victory. So, Lord God, if there's someone out there who doesn't know you in the saving of their soul, I ask that they be sincere and repent of their sins. Repent of their sins to you, Lord God, and have faith towards Jesus Christ. Receive them as the Lord and Savior, because he's the only one, Yeshua HaMashiach. He's the promised Savior. He's the one spoken of by the prophets, the Psalms, and the writings, oh Lord God. He's the one that came to do your will, oh Father. And we receive him into our heart, confess him with our mouth. God, save the family. We thank you, Lord God, that you're restoring marriages, you're restoring families, you're restoring individuals, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for the services that we have at Grace Church. And I ask, oh Lord God, that we be worthy to worship you in spirit and in truth, that we would be found worthy to praise you and honor you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We glorify you in everything that you have done and everything that you're doing. We want to thank you, Lord. We know that according to your word, according to the scriptures. We have an imminent expectation of your return for the church. You're going to bring with you those that have gone to sleep before us. The dead in Christ rise first and be changed. We that remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, in the air, forever to be with the Lord in the clouds. And he's going to take us to his Father's house. And we're going to be with him in the bema seat, in the seder meal, in the wedding. And be with him when he returns back to rescue Israel. We come back as the army of God. We want to thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the opportunities that we have. Lord, we have taken a lot of things for granted. And America has committed atrocities, oh Lord God. They have compromised with sin. And we just pray that America will change. They have allowed same-sex marriage. They have allowed transgender lesbianism. The death of the innocent. Lord God, they have allowed lies, darkness, to be ahead of the truth and the light. Pray for our leadership in all the branches of government. Pray for our leadership in our states, that they too will receive your word and that they could cry unto you, Father God, so America could be that city on the hill. We glorify you, Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus. Cleanse us from all our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So we got about 12 minutes to go, brothers and sisters. The mystery for today is, why did Miriam become leprous? Why did Miriam become a leprous? You read of Numbers chapter 12, verse 10, it tells you she became a leprous. But why did she become a leprous? Miriam and Aaron spoke and said, had the Lord indeed spoke only by Moses? That's a question that they had among themselves. The Lord came down in a pillar and he called Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. But he spoke to Aaron and Miriam. And he said, if there's a prophet, he'll speak to them in visions and in dreams. But to Moses, he'll speak to them mouth to mouth, face to face. And when the Lord lifted up from the tabernacle, Miriam became a leprous. And Aaron saw that Miriam became white as snow. And he went to Moses to beg him to pray for Miriam so Miriam would not die from her leprosy. And the Lord answered Moses and said that Miriam was supposed to be outside of the tabernacle for 7 days. After 7 days, that she could return. And the people did not go until Miriam was returned. They left Hazeroth and they went to the Paran. And as we study the scriptures carefully, at Paran is where God told Moses to send out the spies. We want to thank the Lord. Once again, if you call Blog Talk Radio with the answer, 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign, press that. Look for number one, press that. And you'll be connected to the studio. And if you have the right answer, the church will mount you out a beautiful pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings in the tabernacle, the pattern of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolism that point to Jesus, the sacrifices in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why did Miriam become leprous? If you want to send me a message, send the church a message. You could send it to the email, lowercase WTL Tabernacle, that's TABERNACLE, at gmail.com. We'll look it over and see. And if the answer is correct, then the church will mail you out a beautiful pamphlet. Or you could call the pastor after 7 o'clock, after the program is over, 772-626-3178. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. We have about 8 minutes to go, and we're looking for someone to call the station with the correct answer. Why did Miriam become leprous? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you call and you want to study this subject a little bit deeper, we could go into the Word of God and look up the Word of God. Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the morning, we have our intercessory prayer. On Thursday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible study. This week, we're going to be looking at the power in the Word. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Is Christianity real? We're going to be looking at the power in the Word. There are about 4,200 beliefs out there, religions out there, but there's only one empty tomb. And we need to recognize that a lot of people, they don't want to hear anything about Christianity. A lot of people are against Christianity. Matter of fact, I believe 26 Christians were murdered in Europe because of their belief. And we just pray for those souls. Hallelujah. Because we know one thing is that being absent from the body is present with the Lord. So although they die a tragedy death, but immediately they were with the Lord. God doesn't promise how we are going to leave this body, only that we are going to leave this body. Some of them are going to die, and some of us are going to be changed. And we thank the Lord for that. We got about 6 minutes to go. Once again, why did Miriam become leprous is the question and the mystery. And you can call us at 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign, press that. Look for number one, press that, and you'll be connected to the studio. And if you have the right answer, the church will mount you at a beautiful pamphlet of the tabernacle. Glory, glory be to the Lord. If and when the program ends in about 6 minutes or so, don't forget on Tuesday at 3 a.m. we have intercessory prayer. Same telephone number, same location here on Block Talk Radio. On Thursday, we have Bible study. Is Christianity real? Power in the Word is our subtopic we're going to be looking at. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. The Word of God says in Hosea, some of the specific reasons why my people perish is they put away the law of God. They don't know the law of God. They don't know the ways of God. So people perish. Don't let it be said that you didn't understand, you didn't hear the gospel being brought forward. The gospel is always being brought forward. You find in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, Jesus Christ died, was buried according to the scriptures. He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, my brothers and sisters. We could learn a lot more afterwards on the things, on the words of the saying that Jesus spoke about, the books that the prophets wrote, the books that it was written by David, the songs that he wrote in the Psalms. We could read about the wisdom of Solomon in the Proverbs, and we could read the major and minor prophets. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Then we could read the Gospels. We could read the book of Acts, the history of the church. We could read the Pauline epistles. And we could read the other epistles, letters that are in the book. And finally, we could read the book of Revelation together with Daniel and Ezekiel and the other books that are prophetic in nature. And we thank the Lord for that. We have about 3 minutes to go before we finish this segment. And we want to thank the Lord because God is always, always faithful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Next week, we're going to be looking at another question regarding the Jewish calendar. According to the Jewish calendar, when is the start of the first day? According to the Jewish calendar, when is the start of the first day? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is going to be honored and gracious, and the Lord is going to be magnified. At this time, what we're going to do, seeing that we've got a very short time left, we're just going to praise God and say, thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory that we have in you. Thank you, Jesus, for sharing your word with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this mystery for today. We'll be back next week, next Sunday, same time at 6 p.m. According to the Jewish calendar, when is the beginning of the first day? Glory be, glory be. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.